This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Evacuation orders have been lifted for thousands of people in Ocean County, New Jersey, who are told to leave their homes because of a growing wildfire. Kelly Mendoza, one of the evacuees whose power was also cut, says she's not the one people should be thinking about.
Just pray for the firefighters and the police that are all fighting this fire and they get it under control, and God be with them.
Thousands of faithful filing past the casket of Pope Francis as he lies in state at St. Peter's Basilica. Most did not know him personally, but Sister Jeanette Gaudette did.
He was somebody that I will never forget because he was so personal and funny. Personal and funny and full of joy and hope.
The Pope's funeral will be held on Saturday. The market's pointing higher following a strong day on Tuesday, as Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told a group of bankers that he doesn't think the current situation with tariffs between the U.S. and China is sustainable. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. At the Capitol, sparring over a rule on election observers, it's been months in the making by a 24-member advisory committee to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. On Monday, Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules Chair Representative Adam Nyland of Pewaukee was not happy that no lawmakers were involved and said he found that a little bit insulting. Don Millis, a Republican appointee to the commission, told Nyland no slight was intended. Millis and WEC chair asked the committee to approve the rule, which the commission approved on a 5-1 vote in March. The committee can approve, suspend, or modify the rule package. The job market in Wisconsin continues to grow. New data from the Department of Workforce Development shows the state added 11,000 more jobs in March. The most growth is in service-providing positions, such as construction and some manufacturing sectors. Unemployment continues to hold steady at about 3.2%, which is below the national average of 4.2%. The labor participation rate in Wisconsin is also higher than the national average. Economists are watching these numbers closely as tariffs put employers in uncertain situations. A Stoughton man pleads guilty to an OWI homicide charge for a deadly 2023 crash in Iowa County. 55-year-old Thomas Naughton will be sentenced in June. His vehicle crossed the center line of Highway 78 and struck an oncoming car, killing its driver, 69-year-old Gary Grunenfelder of Blanchardville. Authorities say Naughton's blood alcohol count was 0.4, 2.5 hours after a crash, which is more than 5 times the legal limit. It was also Naughton's 6th OWI-related offense. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Another slow start for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. The Bucks fell behind early and tried playing catch-up again. They lost to the Pacers 123-115. Head coach Doc Rivers.
We've gotten off to 2 poor starts, and we got to make an adjustment there for sure.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
They've been the aggressor. We haven't. You know, we keep spotting them 10-point leads at least. The beginning of the first, the beginning of the third, and that's pretty much the game. It's tough when we start the game like that, when we start the half like that, and obviously we got to change that.
Indy now leads the series 2-0. Game 3 Friday night in Milwaukee. Baseball. The Brewers with a decisive 11-3 win over the Giants. The crew with an 8-run rally in the 6th. Most of the batters facing a 2-strike, 2-out count.
I mean, that's baseball. You have to be a 2-out, 2-strike hitter. You have to do things. The inning's not over with 2 outs, nobody on. The inning's not over with, you got to be willing to do that kind of stuff.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thundershowers likely today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Our high today, upper 60s to low 70s with a light south breeze. Tonight, we're going to drop to around 50. Tomorrow, our high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing good, fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Welcome to our new 3-hour program. New name, catchy new ditties and graphics and more guests, and we really appreciate you being here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. If you're tuning in for the first time, founding editor of Up North News, you can find our work over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up this hour, we're going to be hearing from Green Bay Mayor Eric Enrich about some transparency issues with property tax bills and the NFL draft. And we're going to talk about these topics as part of our homeroom segment as well with State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and with Denise Gomer-Hutchinson from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. So we've got a lot of ground that we're going to travel today during this hour, a very busy hour. We're going to start, as we always do, at the 7 o'clock hour with meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Melissa Kay hanging around from WFHR and WIRI as well. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm ready for a warmer day. How are you?
We are too. It was we'll walk the neighbor's dog late each day, and it was, you know, the warmest, best day so far to take the little puppy for a jaunt. That puppy needs it. That puppy's got a lot of energy. So having a pleasant day makes all the difference. What can you tell us about today's forecast?
Oh, it sure does. Well, we're starting off crisp and cool up north. Temperatures are hanging out in the mid to low 30s, right around that freezing mark into Superior. We've got more clouds north and spots of sun down south with temperatures this morning already in the mid 50s. But we've got some scattered showers pushing in far southwest, and those are going to work their way across the state line in towards Madison and Milwaukee as we go through late morning. And we're also looking at a little dry break this afternoon. So it's not going to be a washout day today, but we do have more showers and storms that want to spark up later tonight as this warm front lifts through the state and it moves its way into northern areas by early tomorrow morning. So what we're looking at for highs today, mid-60s to upper 60s far north. We're also looking at some 70s that are potentially going to be tapped down south. And we're going to hang on to the heat tomorrow, too. South, you're still going to hit 70 degrees tomorrow. Mid-50s for the north tomorrow with more rain on the way. Of course, that rain is expected to ramp up tomorrow night, overnight, and into our Friday morning before this kicks on out of here. So if you are headed to the draft in Green Bay, you're going to want a poncho for early Friday morning and then potentially late on Thursday. Otherwise, you're looking dry and comfortable, actually.
Okay. So it'll get some rainy attention at the beginning, but if folks hang on through it all, it's going to be a good party through and through. Melissa, do you pay any attention to the draft? Will you do so now that it's
in
Green
Bay? I'm excited to plant some grass seed and watch my grass grow.
Melissa Kay would rather watch grass grow than the NFL draft. Fine, we'll put you in that column. That's all right. We understand. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Have a good day.
All right. Yep. Melissa, again, is directing a play, thanks to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Noises Off is coming up next week. So we wanted to make sure people knew again to head over to wrctheater.org. Theater with an R-E, not an E-R. Is this the first time you've directed something there?
It is at WRCT, yes. I have directed previously in Toma at ACT and for Maryland School of Dance.
Have they always been comedies? Because you're kind of this light, funny, pleasant, bubbly person. Or does it turn out you actually love to do dramas?
I love to act in dramas. Mm-hmm. And I would love to direct a drama someday. Yes, absolutely. I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
I directed a play once. Mm.
Did you?
I directed a play about H.H. My friend Eric and I directed a play about H.H. Holmes for a Halloween show.
Oh,
yeah, it was very, very long.
Okay, I got to make a note to look up H.H. Holmes.
Oh, don't.
Okay.
It's not a great subject.
Okay. Oh. Melissa, what are folks hearing on radio in the Wisconsin Rapids area on Civic Media these days?
We are moving our morning show to start after your morning show, Pat, so we don't want to conflict with you anymore.
Aww.
So on WFHR, we will start our morning show at 9, and we'll run from 9 to 11 instead of 8 to 10. And then our midday magazine show that runs in the afternoons is actually getting rebranded to The Rapids Report, and it will be exclusively available on podcast.
Oh,
because that's where people are listening. So
the Rapids Report. I like it.
Yeah, that's where you'll hear from all of our local representatives, nonprofits, teachers, the school district.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of great guests on that show.
That's awesome. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for the update on that, because again, we don't normally get time in the history segment to get everything that's happening there. And so folks need to know again. Yes.
One more thing. We're going to expand the morning show on WIRI, our country station, to go from 7 to 9. So it gets extended by an hour.
All right. So many options. And by the way, I mean, you guys read the internal memos. The Civic Media not only has this wonderful, talk and news network, but the number of music stations it's acquired continues to grow and grow. I mean, we're just becoming quite the little powerhouse out now, aren't we?
Our own little ecosystem.
Yes, here in Wisconsin Radio. So proud to be a part of it. Melissa, thank you so much. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for sticking around a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Green Bay on a couple of different fronts. One related, of course, to the NFL draft, which is coming up. Tomorrow night is when things get going here. But the other is related to something we've talked about frequently on Wednesday mornings in our homeroom segment, and that is the growing expense of the voucher school program that others refer to as school choice that siphons money off of what should go to public schools and diverts it to private, normally religious schools, many of which those students' families have been able to afford previously but are now getting taxpayer funds for it. One of the things that I have watched legislators fight for over the years, obviously on the Democratic side of things, is transparency. Because right now, in many places, you look at your property tax bill, and we'll pick on Chippewa Falls here where I'm sitting, and you'll see, Chippewa Falls School District is costing this much money on your property tax bill. And people want to shake their fist and go, these public school districts. What they don't know, because it's not clear on the property tax bill, is how much money is actually siphoned off of that and goes to the voucher school program. And the folks in Green Bay got a little bit tired of that, and they have fought for some greater transparency on those bills. So I talked to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich yesterday about that. We'll talk again in just a bit with State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner and with Denise Comer Hutchinson from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. But while I was talking to Mayor Genrich about the draft, I also asked him about this issue of property tax transparency on the bills. But of course, I had to start by asking if the excitement was continuing to build for the NFL draft at Lambeau Field.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time. At this point, so it's exciting to be in draft week, and we're really ready to go. I mean, people in town are super excited about welcoming hundreds of thousands of people into Green Bay. We've got some great activities planned to kind of complement what's going on at the draft event itself, and so we're psyched to get into it.
I just think that anybody that's come here from a visiting team always comments on the hospitality of the fans and the friendliness. And that's right. With a game going on. So if there's no game going on, I mean, you can only imagine how welcome out-of-state visitors are going to feel when they get here.
Yeah, it really, to your point, it really plays to our strengths. I mean, one thing that our folks really take seriously is their role as ambassadors. Even as you said, when you've got a rival team coming into Lambeau, we really pride ourselves on being hospitable in spite of the rivalry that's going to play out on the field. So you take the game out of the equation, you're just, you know, welcoming in people who love football, who love their teams, and everybody can win draft day, right? That's that's kind of the fun part about it. And so, yeah, I think people are going to have a great experience.
Yeah, truly it is just like, you know, waving somebody into your tailgate and saying, here, I got a brat for you over here.
Right.
Let me ask you about a recent news event dealing with transparency on the property tax bills in Green Bay. And you were the tiebreaker on this issue. And we're going to talk more about this in our homeroom section coming up in just a bit. But from your standpoint, what was the issue? What is it that's bringing greater transparency when it comes to the cost of the voucher school program in Wisconsin to your city's property taxpayers?
Yeah, so I mean, this has been something that our school board has been asking of the city for some time. It failed when it was brought forward by our previous council. It was brought forward again in our latest council session by our alder, Alyssa Prophet, who had been in conversation with the school district about this issue. And from our perspective, it really is just about transparency, right? There's about $9 million associated with the school district's levy. That is the result of the voucher program here within the Green Bay School District. And, you know, the district was really interested in just making that information known to people when they receive their property tax bill. The city of Green Bay is the entity that controls how that information goes out in tandem with the county and with the Department of Revenue, making sure everything is formatted appropriately. But we just felt it was a good way to be transparent about how people's tax dollars are spent.
And it seems like the kind of thing that could have been done a long time ago by the legislature. And as a former legislator, I know that you saw some of those efforts to increase transparency statewide.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't recall exactly how long those efforts have been ongoing. But to your point, it's something that some legislators have been talking about for some time. I checked in with Senator Hansen, one of your former colleagues, who's obviously still in our area here. And it, you know, something that he had been working on with colleagues down in Madison. And so hopefully we've created a little bit of a playbook for other municipalities who are interested in providing that information to their residents.
We would hope so. And again, we thank Mayor Eric Enrich of Green Bay for talking to us a bit about that and more coming up on this subject in just a little bit. But first, a little sports at 7:17. Christian Yelich had a grand slam last night in San Francisco, the fifth of his career and his fifth home run on the season. It was his first grand slam in more than 3 years. But that and a Jake Bowers two-run homer led to an 8-run sixth inning. And the Milwaukee Brewers beat San Francisco 11-3 over the Giants last night. Jose Quintana remains unbeaten after allowing one run and six hits in six innings of work. Game three will be tonight in San Francisco. The pregame coverage will begin at 8:10 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Milwaukee Bucks are already in dire straits in the playoffs, down 0-2. Once again at the hands of the Indiana Pacers, who beat the Bucks last night 123-115. The Bucks lost despite the return of Damian Lillard after about a month-long health scare, and he is still trying to get back into playing condition. The Bucks have now, over the past couple of seasons, have lost five of their last six playoff games to the Indiana Pacers. Game three will be Friday in Milwaukee. If you're outside of the Milwaukee area, it's NBA TV that you're going to have to go to find that game and see if the Bucks can stave off facing elimination already at this point in the season. Fingers crossed, to put it that way. Want to remind you as well that you can get our daily newsletter. Sign up over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, where we talk about Independent Bookstore Day coming up this weekend and the importance of independent bookstores around Wisconsin. Coming up, we will visit with State Assembly Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner and Denise Gomer Hutchinson about adding that transparency to the property tax bills in Green Bay. When it comes to showing the true cost of all those private voucher school dollars being siphoned away from public education. We will also take note of that other big event in Green Bay, that NFL draft that's coming up tomorrow night. And then at 8:30, we will have Melissa Baldoff in here with our weekly climate check and more political headlines from around Wisconsin. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A parade of well-known brands and CEOs lavished a post-election tribute of $239 million to the Trump Vance Inaugural Committee, according to a new filing with the Federal Election Commission. What was it used for? Voters will likely never know. Let's start with the $5 million donation by Pilgrim's Pride, one of the world's largest meat processors and a subsidiary of a Brazilian company. Cryptocurrency Ripple gave almost $4.9 million, followed by billionaire investment banker Warren Stevens. Stevens' contribution to the inaugural and another $4 million to two Trump super PACs likely earned him the nomination to be ambassador to the UK. In the latest FEC report, 61 donors gave $1 million or more. Manufacturers included Toyota, Tyson, Boeing, and NVIDIA. Unsurprisingly, fossil fuel companies like Occidental, ExxonMobil, and Chevron were on the list, as were pharmaceutical companies Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Trade Association Pharma. McDonald's, Target, Verizon, Comcast, and Amazon each gave $1 million as well. What do donors get for their money? Apple CEO Tim Cook, who donated $1 million, got a tariff exemption for Apple's Chinese-made products. And where does that money go? Federal law does not require disclosure of expenses for inaugural committees. See the list of donors at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning from the WRCE studios. Earlier, Phil Nee had a chance to talk with Ithaca school staff as they prepare for the final month of school before summer break.
The Spanish program, Myra Masters is here. Melissa Sprecher is here. Agriculture education is her forte. And Kathleen Shane, elementary principal and curriculum director, to talk about things coming down to the last couple of months of the school year. Kathleen, how can it be?
I don't know, Phil. This is the end of my 30th year in education. And I'm not as old as I am by the book, but it's been a great year, fast and furious, and happy with the way things have gone, and look forward to finishing out strong.
I know curriculum is your forte, one of your many hats that you wear, but I think you have to be happy. I think the test scores have been pretty positive, haven't they?
I think so, Phil. Elementary has been very strong over the last few years. The collective group of phenomenal teachers have done a lot of work around learning about the standards, identifying which ones must be learned, finding and implementing standards-based curriculum, changing our report cards so that we are demonstrating and sharing with parents exactly where their child is in relation to those standards and what plans we have in place if they're not quite there yet. And Yeah, I don't want to speak about anybody in particular, but our elementary team is very strong, very cohesive. Collaboration is what has brought us to where we are today.
Open enrollment, that used to be kind of just a small window. It's changed over the years, hasn't it?
A little bit. So the official open enrollment season ends April 30th, but parents at any point can complete an alternate open enrollment form, and both are found on the DPI website. If they just go to DPI and then within that search field, search for open enrollment, and the forms are available to be filled out. Once they're filled out, then the school district gets notified of an open enroll in, and we make plans for that, assign classes, determine what courses, if they're a middle or high school student, request records from the previous district and go on from there. So I encourage parents and guardians, you know, if they're still undecided about where their child is going to go to school to, by April 30th, if they could do that. But again, at any time, they can change districts.
And a tour, maybe, possibly?
Oh, yeah. Always come and meet. If you're an elementary student or family, you'd meet me. I'd take you and the child around, introduce you to the teachers that your child would directly interact with, take a look at the playground, maybe sit in with the class a little bit, see if it's a good fit. And middle and high school, the same. They would meet with Miss Bevan. She's our guidance counselor and does student scheduling, and so she would similarly give a tour, answer questions, tour around the school, introduce to some staff, maybe see if there's any students that child knows already. Just kind of the initial welcome to Ithaca.
Another one of the things for the district that I think is a drawing card is the wraparound daycare. Now, could you talk about that and what that means?
I will gladly. I'm so happy that we were able to make this work. So Mrs. Penfield is our 4K instructor and has been for 13 years. Phenomenal person. She and her team that involved Andre Newkirk and Jenna Whipperforth, among others, they did some research years ago about whether or not full day or half day was best for kids. Again, it's always about what's best for the kids. And so their research, what they read, the articles they read, led them to believe strongly that half day was best for students. And as you and I, when we went to kindergarten years and years ago, it was half day. And the other half, we often napped. Mm-hmm. So that's the method and the model that we followed since. But we also know that parents work. And a half day for a student is difficult for childcare, transportation, and so on. Very few are farm families where somebody's home on the farm all day. And so we had to look at how we can best meet the needs of our families. And so with the board's blessing, we are for next year offering wraparound care for our 4K students that go to Ithaca. And what that means is we will have childcare next year from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. If a student, say a 4K student, is scheduled in an afternoon 4K class, meaning they have lunch and then they have class with Ms. Penfield, wrap around beginning at 7:30 when a normal school day starts. From 7:30 until that lunchtime, care will be provided for free for that Ithaca 4K student. And the reverse is true. So if they have a morning class with Mrs. Penfield, after lunch, they can then have wraparound care free until 3:30. If a family, whether it's 4K or other through eighth grade, need before or after school care, so from 6 to 7:30 or from 3:30 to 5, there, that is open as well. There is a nominal fee of $4 an hour. What we offer is, say you have a 4K student that, and you live in the district, or you are able to get to a place so the child can ride the bus. If the 4K student attends the afternoon 4K, they can ride the bus and get dropped off and then transported from the care to their class, and vice versa. If they come in on the bus and go to morning 4K, we get them to the afternoon care, and then if it works in the family schedule, they can get on the bus at 3:30 or thereabouts and go home. So the other thing too is it will be available for a fee on Friday. So we are sticking with the 4 days a week. And so Friday is not a free 4K day, but it, again, nominal fee, providing 5 days a week care for 4K students, as well as any school-age child that goes to Ithaca. I'm super excited about this. I know when my girls were in school, they did 4K. Emma did 4K, and it was all day. And so that alternate day, you know, thankfully my folks were still alive and were retired. But I understand how it's tough for parents to have childcare. And when we live where we live in a remote setting, access to drop-off daycare is tough.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It's Forest Appreciation Week. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources joins communities, organizations, and individuals throughout the state in celebrating trees and forests during Forest Appreciation Week, a time to reflect on the importance of urban and rural forests. The 17 million acres of forests that cover nearly half of Wisconsin and the millions of urban trees provide many benefits, including safeguarding water resources, creating homes and food for wildlife, supporting the forest industry, offering a variety of outdoor recreation opportunities, reducing energy consumption and soil erosion, providing natural beauty for stress relief, supporting human health, providing shade, mitigating impacts of the changing climate by trapping and storing carbon dioxide, and to maintain these many benefits, we need to be good stewards of the forest resources. You can participate in the pledge by planting trees and recording them on the Wisconsin Tree Planting Map and by caring for trees in your neighborhood. Students can also make a difference. This year, the DNR donated more than 54,000 tree seedlings to fourth grade classrooms across Wisconsin to celebrate Arbor Day and help students learn about the importance of trees. The DNR also donated more than 500 seedlings to the Badgerland Council of the Girl Scouts of America to distribute at their Arbor Day event. Participants will receive credit toward badges by participating. Additionally, the DNR's reforestation program has supplied Wisconsin landowners with more than 1.6 billion seedlings since 1911. These investments in tree planting and forest stewardship are key to ensuring that Wisconsin continues to have healthy and sustainable urban and rural forests that support strong and resilient communities. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thundershowers likely today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Our high today, upper 60s to low 70s with a light south breeze. Tonight, we're going to drop to around 50. Tomorrow, our high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Hey, look at us. Halfway through the first edition of a three-hour show here, morning 6 to 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow on the program, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, along with Joseph Pecky, Chad Holmes, a discussion about RFK Jr.'s rants about autism. But coming up later today, the new Matt and Air on Air start time.
Yeah.
9 to 11 following this fine program, and you have some fine guests coming up.
Yes. Today at 10:30, we have Rick Reed, who is a professor of economics, to really just talk to us about the economy and answer some basic questions and talk about also the bond market and how it affects the U.S. American stock market and our economy itself. At 11 o'clock, we have Sean Fetteplace from the Main Street Alliance to talk about how everything happening right now is really having an effect on small business, or as politicians like to call it, the backbone of America.
Do you know that that has absolutely nothing in common with the list that I had for guests today? And so now I'm wondering what the heck I was looking at.
I have no idea what you were looking at.
I was looking at Jim Santel, Lee Snodgrass, and Paul Noonan.
You're looking at tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow on Matt and Air on Air, Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, Representative exactly. Lee Snodgrass on her election interference bill, Paul Noonan of the Acme Packing Company, all about the Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh.
What a recovery. Boy, I tell you, that was so smooth.
That's improv, baby. Yes,
that's
and.
Right.
Yes, and.
All that and more. Go to civicmedia.us for more about the stations and shows. We were talking about Green Bay, so we are going to welcome in State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner and Denise Gomer-Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Denise, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you for being here. And Ahmad, you're back here on the phone as well, correct?
Yes, I am.
That's right. So good to have you both here to be talking in our homeroom segment today about what's happening in Green Bay. And we heard from Mayor Eric Genrich off the top of this hour about the need for greater transparency when it comes to the voucher, a.k.a. school choice program in Wisconsin and its impact on the property tax bills. Denise, let's start with you for folks that might have missed it early in the hour. What was it that the Green Bay City Council and the mayor decided to do, and why was that important?
Well, it's critical. And it's critical because, for example, I've chaired from the community perspective the last six referendas in the Green Bay Area Public School District. And that goes from the late 1990s, 2000, all the way through this last one that they did in November. And when you go to doors and you're talking to taxpayers, they say to you, well, why am I having to spend more when on my tax bill it says I'm giving this much money to public schools? And then you have to explain, well, it's not really all going to public schools. And you're also getting a tax credit back that nobody's talking about. And it really kept saying to us that we need more transparency. And so the school board did a great thing. They wrote a resolution asking the city to please help them with making a more transparent tax bill so that we could effectively speak to taxpayers about where their money is going.
So how exactly will that be structured then? I mean, will people really see that much of a breakdown as to, you know, how the dollars are moving?
Well, thanks to Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, or I should say Representative Rivera-Wagner, he was able to go to the Department of Revenue and get a letter explaining what they would be willing to accept on the tax bill. And you know from your time as a legislator that we have tried a number of times to put a bill through, legislation through, that would impact it and change it statewide, and we've been unsuccessful. So now we're going city council, county board to city council and county board.
Hey, if that's what has to get done, that's what has to get done. Alicia writes up on YouTube here. Oh, goodness, she writes, hearing Ahmad being referred to as representative is awesome. Ahmad, you have a lot of folks in your corner. Glad that you are in the position to tell us more about your own involvement with this and the benefit of the city council and the mayor making this decision for the taxpayers.
Well, I'm so grateful that Denise, you know, the old adage is true, all politics is local. I know that too often, too many bills, really thoughtful bills, go to the legislature in Wisconsin to die. And so this started about a year ago where we really wanted to figure out, regardless of what position I ended up in, how can we ensure that everyday people can see the real impact of voucher schools on their tax bill, which is part of the issue for every referenda that we go into. And so Denise got this resolution passed by our school board, and we got to work. And some of the issues were simple and slightly complex. On your tax bill, there's a lot of regulation, legal regulation, about what you can and cannot put on there. So we had to do a lot of thinking and a lot of work to figure out that we could put the total cost of voucher schools in the cities for every tax bill and put it in bold to be explicit that this amount of money completely comes right off the top of your bill every year just to voucher schools before we even get to start spending money on teachers, on special education, on any of the things that schools need to do to make it go forward. And there was opposition, but what we found over and over again is that regular everyday people love transparency. We've watched different folks from conservatives, Republicans, nitpick everything from the postage stamps to absentee ballots to furniture at the local level. And there were too many, a small amount of folks that were opposed to tax transparency for voucher schools. So it was really exciting to see the community come out in support of this. Everyday regular people really support this. People were actually celebrating. And then we heard, as we went through this process, we can't believe it's that much money we didn't know. And so knowing, as the old adage goes, is half the battle.
Exactly. With the cost of voucher schools now north of $700 million, it won't be long until it's a billion-dollar program if it continues to grow the way that it does. And Denise, there just does seem something ironic or nefarious that a group of conservatives in the legislature who do want to nitpick in the name of transparency every dime of government spending has been working so hard for years to hide or shield the true cost of the voucher school system to taxpayers. And it just seems to me it gives you this opportunity now that although it's going to last longer, you started in Green Bay, but like you said, you can now go from town to town, county to county, and let more people know about how much it's costing them to fund two parallel school systems in the state.
It's huge. And what's really cool is there are communities in Wisconsin that have been putting inserts in their tax bills. And we knew that we couldn't do that in Green Bay because it was the press and seal, you know, where you have the little edging around and there wasn't any place for an insert. And we knew that wasn't going to work. And when we did our research, we found out that they aren't looking at those inserts. They're looking at their tax bill. They want the factual information on their tax bill. They want to be able to see it, access it, and understand it.
We are talking to Denise Gomer Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner from the Green Bay area. And Ahmad, the assembly recently in a committee was talking about a bill sponsored by Republicans that would ban local governments, they were talking specifically about Milwaukee, from making certain aid payments to pregnant women. And the, you know, these state legislators wanted to micromanage what cities could do in terms of, you know, how they spent money in their budget. It raises the concern, should we be expecting a bill anytime now from some Republicans that would prevent cities like Green Bay from having this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Fantastic question. So it's not just on folks experiencing health concerns. We're seeing a suite of bills from the Assembly on trying to eliminate local control from everything from gardens all the way up to the flag that can be flown, to the type of income programs that can be run. But there is a frustration, what it seems like, by my colleagues in the Assembly with municipalities having the ability to create innovative or thoughtful programming on these issues. But what is really exciting is that residents really like transparency. They like local control. And I never thought in my lifetime that this notion of local control and transparency, which often used to be a conservative mantra, somehow has flipped in this modern era where too many of us folks are saying, especially Democrats right now, we should have pro-transparency. We should be making sure that people understand the way that their government works, and we shouldn't be hiding behind the walls of bureaucracy. And so it's an exciting time to have regular people want to be on board with that. It's somewhat frustrating to watch the kind of new politics try to block the ability of local control and tax transparency. And just to like really put a fine-tuned comb on this, it really seems to be a struggle for folks in the Assembly to want to allow Milwaukee, the Green Bays, to be able to thrive. That the issue is we'd rather punish one or two cities than allow any city to be able to have the ability to be innovative or thoughtful or more transparent. And we really have to change those politics. You know this. In Wisconsin, especially in Green Bay, we take care of each other. We support each other. And that means by giving people the most information they need to make the decisions that are best for them and their families. And we can't hide behind bureaucracy. We have to be pro-transparency and excited that this effort is already getting attention across cities.
We were talking in the last hour about you could do an entire segment of beginning with I'm old enough to remember. And of course, at the time we were talking about Alta Vista and CompuServe and Ask Jeeves. I'm old enough to remember when Republicans were the party of local control, saying now it's they're the party of controlling the locals. And thankfully, some folks are rising above it, including Denise Comer Hutchison from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner. Obviously, big doings with the NFL draft coming to the Green Bay area. Ahmad, thank you so much for chatting with us earlier about that. Denise, thank you for all that you do. It was a pleasure to talk to you both today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Now. Have a great day. Appreciate it very much. 7:47 now, and let's take a look at sports here very briefly to tell you that the Milwaukee Brewers had game two of their series in San Francisco. Christian Yelich had a grand slam, the fifth of his career, his fifth home run on the season. Jake Bowers had a two-run home run. The Brewers scored 8 runs in the sixth inning. And Jose Quintana, now 3-0 as a starting pitcher for the Brewers, allowing only 1 run and 6 hits in 6 innings of work. It was an 11-3 victory over the Giants on Tuesday night. Game 3 is tonight at 8:10. You can catch the game on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The news is not as bright for the Milwaukee Bucks. They are already in dire straits, already looking at the potential for elimination in the first round of the playoffs again after losing game two to the Indiana Pacers 123-115 to go down 0-2 in the series. The Bucks lost despite the return of Damian Lillard. He'd been off for a month-long health scare. He's clearly not back at 100% yet. The team is far from 100%, and they're going to have to get off the schneid here pretty quickly. Game three is Friday. It's in Milwaukee, and it's on NBA TV. Got a question on the text line here from Randy in Madison asking, has the name of the Up North News morning show changed? What will it be for the name of the podcast? What we are now, and it's still an Up North News joint along with Civic Media Radio Network, but it's now Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's me. And I'll have Todd Alba here next.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Alba Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Alba Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hello again from the WRCE studios. We continue our conversation that Phil Nee had with Ithaca school staff as they talked about the FFA, the Spanish program, and other topics heading into the final month of the school year.
Kathleen Shane is in the studio with us, along with Melissa Sprecher and Myra Masters. Kathleen, you got a lot of action-packed things every day in that 4K through 12 building, don't you?
We do, Phil, and I'm very proud to be part of it, both as a kid growing up, but now as an active member of a really good staff. So a couple things I wanted to highlight, Phil, this morning, to kind of piggy off of Melissa's talk about the chicken and hatching. It happened maybe the week before she let me know of this hatchery going on. The second graders polled me to find out what I thought, who I thought came first, the chicken or the egg. And at the moment, I'm like, oh, I don't know how to answer that. And then she came out with this. So again, it's In my opinion, that's one of the greatest parts about Ithaca is we are all under one roof. So if there's something exciting going on in a high school class, our elementary can participate. If we're celebrating some student athletes that are moving on to state, we line the halls and the drums, you know, we get that cadence and the elementary are very excited. And it starts because we have a really robust youth sports program. You know, we have youth wrestling, youth softball and baseball, youth basketball. Kids as little as kindergarten can participate and learn those skills. And I think that's key. But there's no like pressure on parents. If you want a whole, if you don't want to your child to be enrolled yet in an organized sport because you believe in play and outside, that's fine. You know, if you're waiting until they're in middle school and they're with their peers, that's fine. You know, our coaches will take children wherever they are and build them up. But again, it's at 4K through 12 that to me makes us unique. I think of our teaching assistants. This year, I believe I have 12 high school students who are working in the elementary. And I think of the one in particular, he's a senior and he works in our kindergarten. Phenomenal. Those kids will do and listen to him as if he were their teacher. There's many, and they will do, those high school kids will are become kind of part of the faculty. You know, I trust them when they sign up and we talk. I trust that they'll do what they're supposed to do, be good role models, take on leadership when needed, work one-on-one or small groups as directed by the teacher. And it gives our youth, our little kids, you know, somebody to want to be like, and who another person that they will make good choices because of. And I know we've got students that are leaving us in the last, this year and in recent years that went into education, and we need good teachers, right? And we need teachers that come from Ithaca so that they can hopefully some will come back and return with skills and the empathy of living in a small community and working in a small school. I guess that's really important to me. You know, one thing I wanted to highlight too is our high school. You know, we put out well-rounded students. You know, we talk about a product, a business. We are a business, right? You know, we have to stay within our budget as best we can. And I, again, thank the voters for our recent referendum. But our product of students, in my opinion, we put out well-rounded. We have, you know, we have our FBLA. We have students going to nationals this year. We sent many to state forensics. We have a horse club, right? With Richland Center, we co-op. So we have kids that can showcase that. Our FFA is phenomenal. NHS, you know, student leadership, art club. Like, who doesn't want to sit after school with Ms. Durkin and do art and talk, right? Our WIAA sponsored sports. It's a well-rounded, you know, our student athletes are often in many activities as well as performing in the classroom. And to me, that's very important. I believe strongly, my own daughters are testament that well-rounded education leads you to become whatever you want, whether it be going to Southwest Tech, going to work locally in a business. I remember we have several students that work in local businesses in high school, and I often get called, you know, background check. And then I'll, you know, see that business owner years past and cannot talk highly enough about Ithaca students and how their work ethic and their politeness and their intuitiveness of seeing something and doing it. You know, to me, that's what's important. We might not be able to offer all of the things that bigger schools can, but when a student leaves our building, I believe strongly that they can go and do whatever they want, wherever they want to do it, whether it's Richland County or Alaska, New York City, overseas. You know, I believe that strongly. The other thing I want to mention before Ms. Sprecher talks a little bit more about our CTE, summer school is going to go strong again this year. It does include swim lessons. So It is for students that are currently 4K through 7th grade. And we have both enrichment classes, and brochures will be coming out, and registration will be coming out this week, along with reading and math. We use our internal data to, you know, continue learning in small group through summer school. And I'm excited about, you know, we have things from fishing to sewing to, you know, engineering type things, focusing on reading, just lots of fun activities are being planned by our staff. So I hope many of our students and families will make that a priority. Summer school runs June 9th through the 20th.
Mm-hmm. So it's not an all summer thing. It's
just no, it is. Yep.
Yeah, sounds good. That's coming up. I think the other thing that Ithaca is really proud of is the youth apprenticeship program. Done really well, Melissa.
Yes, Monica Kirshner has been just amazing at this position. She came on a few years ago and really, it really exploded even more because she has such a passion for it. She does such a great job of going in and talking to the kids about doing a youth apprenticeship. So basically what they're doing is they're looking at something they might be interested in going into or passionate about.
News, I'm Sherry Preston. The body of Pope Francis brought to St. Peter's Basilica this morning in a solemn ceremony. He will lie in state there for 3 days until his funeral on Saturday.
What comes next after Saturday's funeral and burial? The conclave, that ancient process, all the cardinals gathering in the Sistine Chapel, sworn to secrecy to choose the next pope. No date for that has been set yet. Vatican rules say it should be 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope.
ABC's Terry Moran at the Vatican. Evacuation orders have been lifted for thousands who were told to leave their homes because of a fast-moving wildfire along the Jersey Shore. The busy Garden State Parkway in New Jersey shut down because of smoke. The fire about 10% contained. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.2 shook Istanbul, Turkey today, leading people to rush out of homes and buildings in a panic. Despite some strong aftershocks, no reports of damage or